Hello, everyone. We are going to do some Q&A today, but we're going to kick it off with me talking all things about Urges 2.0. I just want to tell you guys, I am so excited about our program next month. It's so funny how it even happened. So before I get into everything, though, let me bring up Coach Kara. I'm going to promote her to panelists. What she's going to do is she's going to like go through the Q&A while I'm on the call. She won't be speaking and you won't see her face and stuff. You'll just see her little picture up in the corner. But she is going to answer some of the Q&A that's like easy to answer, where it may just be like, let me tell you where a resource is, that kind of thing. And then what she's also going to be doing, it's making sure that all of you who are logging in Zoom, they have an update coming out sometime in August. If you are getting the black screen when you when I come on live, when you are attending live, we have heard that if I bring someone on stage with me, that sometimes it fixes that problem, but not always. So as long as you can hear me, that's what we need to have happening. And that's the most important thing, because it's the words that come out my mouth that mean everything. All right, so let me tell you about Urges 2.0. That is, so for everyone, let me kind of explain things. The primary focus of No BS is always to go through the No BS weight loss course. So when you first join, or let's say it's been a while and you need a reboot, the No BS weight loss course is the foundation. Okay. This is the program that I want you going through most often inside of No BS. And I will just give you a pro tip. So I take a lot of online courses. Many of you know, I did not go to college. So anything that I know how to do in this business, whether it is to create a course, it is to create videos, anything that happens inside of No BS, I took an online course at some point, joined a membership, learned all the things, did the course, did the worksheets, interacted with the community, and figured out the shit. This is how I know courses work. It is by personal experience. So I built your course. Not only did I build your course based on my personal experience losing weight, but everything that you see here, the reason why I went with doing an online course where everybody takes the same thing and it has worksheets and it has all the things, is because I have done so many courses and it has worked so well for me. So take it from a pro. When she says to go through the course and let that be your focal point, that's the most important thing. And then wrap back around every so often when you hit a plateau, when you notice you're not planning anymore, when you hit rough spots, when you've got a part of your life that's particularly stressful, that's the perfect time to retake No BS from start to finish and do all of the worksheets. Because what will happen is that when you're experiencing some kind of specific obstacle, like I've gained some weight, like I just kind of quit doing the things, Corinne, when let's say your dog dies and 2 months later you wake up and you notice that not only did your dog die, but your mom went into the nursing home and you had to move houses and you're like, shit's hit the fan for me. These things that happen in your life, these are the triggers not to give up and quit. These are the triggers to go back to No BS and take it again. And you take it from that mindset. Because whatever you're experiencing during that time is what your brain will latch onto, hear, and process differently the next time you experience the course. Almost every single course that I've ever written for you guys, there is I belong to a place called Momentum, which is part of the Digital Course Academy. I joined a Digital Course Academy a long time ago. And whenever I'm writing a major course for all of you, I go back through and it takes me about a week to go through the entire start to finish videos. I watch all of it again and I do all the worksheets again. That is how I've become a wicked course creator. That is how I've lost the weight, as I go from start to finish. We are getting ready to usher in newbies next week. Guess who's going through No BS? That would be me. I am going to go through the entire newbie process so that I can relook at all my materials, like make sure that I'm doing all the things, shore up my own little holes and do all the stuff. So I'm kind of figuring that if Corinne can redo it, there ain't no fucking body in here better than me right now. So let's just hang our hat on that. Now, with that being said, when you are a member and you have gone through No BS and you're like rocking and rolling and you're identifying things you need to work on, we have what's called monthly focuses. So this next month, we will be focusing on what's called Urges 2.0. Originally in August, we were going to just take everybody through No BS again. And I thought, well, we just kind of did that earlier this year. What I would rather do is like dive into another key component that newbies, when they come in, it will help them. And for all of you that have been here for a long time, it addresses something super specific that we don't necessarily have an extra deep dive on right now. So this month in August, we are going to be doing Urges 2.0. So whether you've been here a day or 1,000 days, everybody will benefit from the calls. So here's how I would do it if I was all of you. If you're brand new, your focus will be No BS. And then if you are going to be listening to any kind of live trainings, you will want to listen to my call every Wednesday, because throughout the month of August, I am going to be teaching how to overcome urges. We're going to be deep diving into why do we have them? How do we overcome them? How do we plan for them? All the things about urges. So we're going to do that every Wednesday together, and then I'll answer any questions you have each and every Wednesday. So if I was brand new to the program and you see like all the things that we offer, you're going to do No BS and you're going to be going through that. And then if you want to listen to anything extra, you'll just listen to the replay in Urges 2.0. It will be in your bonus live trainings. Okay. Now, if you've been around here for a while, then I would go over to where the entire bonus course is. It's in the weight loss resources. It's called, I think, self-paced courses. If you go over there, I want you to download the guide that comes along with Urges 2.0. And I'm going to kind of break it all down for you in just a moment. But if I've been around a while and I notice that I overeat, I have a certain time of the day where the devil is on my shoulder and he's like, it's time for a big old jelly donut. If that's you, where you have got like overeating windows, that's what's stalling you, or like, you know, you would lose more weight if you could overcome this, or maybe you're rocking in your weight loss and you're like, I still overeat. I bet my day is coming where I'm going to have to figure out how to quit doing that. This will be the perfect course for you. So what I want you to do is I want you to go over to where the weight loss resources are. I want you to download the guide. And then this month, that will be your focus. We will be doing calls every Wednesday. And then there will be a bonus call each week where the coaches are going to apply. So there will be some co-planning, co-journaling, co-sessions with coaches. And you'll be on screen with all your community members where you can work together on going through some overeating challenges that we all have. All right, so let me pull my notes up, because Urges 2.0 is going to be exciting. It's funny that we're even doing it, because at first I was telling Yasmin, who now helps create things with me, I was telling her, yeah, since you're newer and whatnot, like I don't want to give you too much to do. Next thing I know, I have blowed this program out. I keep like messengers saying, oh, we got to cover this, and oh, we got to cover this, and all this stuff. And she's pulled together. Yasmin is doing such an amazing job of taking what is in my head and getting it beautiful. And that's a wonderful thing. All right. So let's just go over what else happening. So Urges 2.0 is a combination of live teaching and application classes with our coaches. Plus, it has an optional self-study of Module 3. We are going to be updating one of the Module 3 videos. I will be filming that today. Just want to let everybody know, if you go to Module 3, nothing much has changed over there. But I promise everyone, by Sunday, We will have that video loaded for you guys and we will announce it. So you won't miss it, but it will be a new video where I've changed the process on how to break an urge. So I've really thought about it over the last few months, like in our current busting an urge process, there was just like a missing step. And so I really wanted to redo it and refinesse it. I'm filming it today. So this is, today is filming day. Just put it that way. All the live teaches in 2.0 are going to be during my Wednesday Q&As. So starting on August 4th, all of you will have a lesson with me. Week one, we're going to talk about what do you do before an urge? So I'm going to be teaching you the process of visualization and self-talk. Because for a lot of you, what I need you guys to really understand is that most of you, like a lot of people be like, ugh, that visualization, Corinne, that's some woo. I don't know about that. You're visualizing whether you think you are or not. However you think in the morning about your overeating window, your brain automatically creates a picture for it. It starts seeing what it thinks will happen. And a lot of you are doing a whole bunch of, I hope I don't fuck up tonight. You know, it's so hard not to overeat tonight, but tonight's my night. Like y'all do a lot of self-talk that you think is getting you ready. And then when you get there, it's hard. You're like, fuck it. All kinds of things happen. And you wonder why every night it's hard to pull the trigger on saying no. It's because a lot of people are setting up at the first part of the day. Like you're replaying and rehearsing a very hard scenario for later in the day. And your brain is looking for that. So one of the things that we're going to do the very first week is we're going to talk about how overcoming an urge, like it starts first thing in the morning. It doesn't start when the urge happens. It starts first thing. All right. And then week two, we're going to be talking about what do we do during an urge. So I think one of the most important things for y'all to understand is that what I want you doing is really understanding that an urge is an emotion that goes through your body. It is not a bad thing. It is not something that is paralyzing you. It's not just happening. Just because it goes fast doesn't mean that you never experience it. So we want to talk about what do we do during one. So I'm going to be taking people through the now process that you learn in module two. And we're going to start teaching our brain a whole new relationship with an urge. Because most of the pain, the misery, the suffering that you have around an urge is the thoughts you have about it. Like if you were just having an urge, you would just like if all that was happening was having an urge, the only thing you would notice is like some sentences that says, I want that. And then your brain would just hyper-focus on, and this is what my breathing feels like. Oh, I notice an urge because my heart rate is doing this. What most of you are experiencing is the shitty thoughts you have about your urge. Like, oh my God, if this wasn't happening, I would lose weight. And if I keep having urges like this, I'm always going to be overweight. And, you know, when will this kind of crap even stop? That whining and titty babying, that's the painful part. That's the part that adds a whole lot of extra shit on top. And so what I want to do is teach you how to separate those two things. Somebody asked, what is the now process? It's in module two. It's how you feel a feeling. If you don't know what it is, I would suggest you go to module two and listen to that lesson. It's about naming your feeling. And then the next part of the process is I teach you how to open yourself up to, all right, now that I know the feeling, I'm going to open myself up to letting it go through my body. And then the last part is called witnessing the feeling. This is where I walk you through breathing and like letting you focus on how it's going through your body. And then it's a really good way to put some separation between you and the whiny titty baby shit that happens when it comes to an urge. The third week, we're going to talk about leveling up the urges. And so this is like during. A lot of you, what I've noticed after researching you is you don't ever level up an urge because in your mind, it's either I don't eat or I fuck it eat. I don't know that there's a gray. And I don't even allow myself to find any kind of small successes, like stopping at the last Cheeto before I clear the bag, doing anything better. I don't allow myself to call that victory. I don't allow myself to call that success. So when you don't do, when your mindset is, you know, the only good urge is the one you don't eat. When your mindset is in perfectionism, then what happens is you deny yourself leveling up and you deny yourself success. And so perfectionism, leveling up cannot exist with perfectionism. They do not play well together at all. They're always separated. And so what we want to do is, like, in order to be successful, we have to redefine what success looks like. So we're going to focus week three on how do we level up urges, and we're going to flip the script on what does what success is and what it ain't. And then in week four, we're going to talk about after an urge, and we're going to talk about discovery worksheets. And I'm actually going to go through, for everyone that collects discovery worksheets throughout the month of August, I'm going to pull some people up and work your discovery worksheets with you. Because what I've noticed that they're one of the issues that we have is that a lot of people just write the same stuff over and over and over again, which is fine because it raises some awareness. But when you never write anything else, it's probably because you've stopped listening for anything else, or you've stopped thinking that anything else could happen. So what I want to do is I want to show you guys on the discovery worksheet how to take them deeper, how to, like, push yourself a little harder, how to know when to push harder. All right. And then in the week following, so each one of the Q&As where I teach, there's going to be a chance to work in live time with the coaches. We're mixing up the times. They're going to be all throughout the day and evening so that we can hit West Coast, we can hit Australia, we can hit all the places. And they're going to be meeting style. So if you go to the Urges 2.0, course page. This is where the resource guide is. You can go to the self-study resources on the website, go to self-study workshops, and you will see Urges 2.0 sitting there smiling at you. The replays are going to be both in the live training replay podcast feed, and we will load them into your bonus courses podcast feed also. So they will be in two places to make sure that you can find them. So let's go over how you show up this month. This is on pages 4 and 5 of the resource guide. It's all there for you right now. So if you trot your happy little ass on over to the website, you will find everything you need. If you are a bottom line bitch, here's what I want you to do. I want you to watch the updated Busting Urges process video in module 3. That will be releasing no later than this Sunday. Then for the rest of the month, just catch the replays that I do on Wednesdays. Don't do anything else. You got one video in module 3 to watch, and then you are going to listen to my Q&As that I have every Wednesday so that you're learning the process. That is all you need to do. Now, that doesn't mean that you ain't making a 24-hour plan every day, basic bitches. And that does not mean that you get a get out of jail free card on your discovery worksheets. I don't care how fucking busy you are. Here's the deal. Nobody's too fucking busy to make a plan and figure out how to get their goals in their life. You're just not that big. Never tell yourself that you got so much going on in the world, that life is so overwhelming, blah, 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 that you ain't got a fucking 2 minutes every day to plan what's going to go in your mouth. If you're saying that, here's what you're really saying. I got so much going on right now that what I'd like to do is just keep on stuffing my face to avoid it. That's what you're really saying. Because here's what I know. When it comes to overeating, if we quit emotionally eating, you got fucking more time on your hands. You know what you got more time on your hands to do? Deal with all that shit you say you got to do. You got more time for your to-do list. You got more time to go. If you got relationships and disarray, then you now got more time to go and have some hard conversations. Don't be sitting there saying you ain't got time to lose weight. It don't take much fucking time. It takes less time than you sitting there standing in the pantry trying to figure out what you're going to eat rather than calling your mama and trying to figure out how you two can get along. A lot of y'all are like playing around in some shitty diaper that you don't got time to lose weight. What you really are saying is there's a lot of stuff in this world I don't want to be doing right now. So if I try to lose weight, I won't have more time to address that stuff. Let me just say that I ain't got time. I'm going to have to just keep eating. No, you don't. We're either going to fix our life or we ain't. But we're no longer going to say that we don't have time to lose weight because of our life. Just be honest. If you don't want to lose weight, just say, like, I just don't want to do it right now. I would much rather keep eating than to face the things that I know that I need to do. There's conversations I need to have. There's resumes I need to get out there. I might need to go on some, like, I keep saying I hate this job, but I ain't looking for another one because I'm afraid of rejection. So I'm going to keep snacking every afternoon at this job I hate. What the fuck are we even doing? Let's just do some hard shit. Because right now, the way that I see most of you, when you come in and complain you ain't losing weight and that you ain't doing shit, you're already living the hard life. Let's stop that part. I don't know why I got on that rant, but there we go. Number two, moderation mamas. You are going to watch the updated Bustin' Urges video that's going to come out this no later than this Sunday. You are going to watch me on Wednesdays. That means you can do the replay. You can show up live. I love all my live ladies. Hello to all the peoples who are sitting here watching me live. And I want you to try to attend some of the application calls. So take a look at the schedule. You do not need to attend them all, but take a look at the schedule. And if it works with your calendar, I want you to attend live so that you can get the live experience. If you can't, then if you're a moderation mama, you will watch the replay of the application calls and you will pretend that you were there live. That's all you got to do. If you are a deep dive diva, you are going to watch that updated video. You are going to watch the replays or attend live my Wednesday Q&As. You are going to also attend as many of the application calls as possible, do all your worksheets and stuff. But I would love for you to go through module 3 one more time. So if you are a deep dive diva, you will go all the way through module 3. And that will give you just even a deeper learning. So we have tried to design this to where it works for all schedules. We really want to take away the excuse that you don't have that time. We give you 3 avenues every single time of here's how, depending on your life, you can get the most out of things. And I hope that what it also teaches you is that for all of you who are perfectionists and who get overwhelmed, like, I don't know what to do. Bitch, please. All you got to do is push play. We give you so many different ways to do it. It's like essentially the golden rule is push fucking play and make a 24-hour plan. If I was going to boil it all down, never say you're overwhelmed. Never say you know what, don't know what to do, blah, 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 blah. I am giving you exactly what to do right now. Close your eyes. Pull up your podcast. Everybody can just pull up their podcast. The live trainings ones. Then just close your eyes and pretend you're on a roulette wheel and just spin that thing and then push play. I don't give a fuck what you land on. You're going to be a winner. All you got to do is listen to something. If you're doing that and making a 24-hour plan, you probably going to lose fucking weight around here. It's the people that sit around me like, oh my God, I'm not doing it perfect. Ugh. That's the people that have a hard time. If I don't break anything, while you are a no BS woman, I hope that I break the idea that you are a delicate flower going through the world, not knowing what to do. That is not what a no BS woman does. A no BS woman takes guesses. She gets it wrong. She just pushes play. She just does shit. That's what a no BS woman does. And you know what? She knows she ain't no delicate flower. She ain't going to have to beat herself up if it doesn't go perfectly. She just going to keep marching on forward. That is all we have to do. That's it. That is how I have lived my life. And things have so far worked out for me. All right. Each week, Urges 2.0, the workbook, has a place for you to take notes during my Q&A calls. We also have something really cool. We have the Bustin' Urges board. This is a challenge for all of you who want to participate to track your daily assessments, your discovery worksheets and your successful urge worksheets. So starting on August 1st, you print your little board, you track how many you're getting done. It will give you such good data so that when we start in September, which is going to be, I'm going to give you a sneak peek. I'm not going to tell you all the things we're doing, but we are doing the fall takedown challenge. We're going to be setting some weight loss goals and we all going to be working towards them. So this data will set you up for by September to know, here's exactly what I should work on so that I can get this fucking weight in my past. All right. And then we are going to review those discovery worksheets on the Q&A at the end of the month. And in the back of the resource guide, we've given you extra discovery worksheets and successful urge worksheets. You can print as many as you want. They're also on the helpful worksheets part of the website. All right. Here's a few things of why urges are important to work on, and then we will get to some questions. Number one, we work on our urges after learning the four basics and how to do the think, feel, do cycle because you get to see what's left. Like once you know how to do your thought work and you know the things to do to lose weight, you're like, oh, now I see the exact things to work on around my overeating. So that's why we want to work on our urges. One of the things that I really want to be able to teach you this month is that if you're getting stuck in the doable hunger method by working on your urges and stuff, it's going to help you kind of unlock, especially the enough side. I think the enough side is the one part of all of it that I see as the most common struggle. A lot of you can wait for hunger, but it's like once I start eating, it's the ability to stay conscious so that I have a conscious place to stop. We're just used to, and I just want to tell all of you to free you of any kind of shame or disappointment in yourself or whatever might be going on. We are not taught to eat consciously from the get-go. And I mean, when you were laying on your mama's bosom, whether you were sucking a tit or taking a bottle, what did you do? You learned from the get-go to just toke and go to sleep. We're just not meant to pay attention. We're never learning it. Even when we're little kids, what do we hear all the time? Are you sure you're done? Even if we didn't even have food pusher parents. Like maybe some of you are like, clean plate club. We got to get it all down and blah, blah, blah. The majority of us though, and I will bet you, like, tell me in the comments if you ever heard this. Or no, tell me if you're a parent, and you've ever said these words, are you sure you're done? Sure didn't eat much. Really? Wait, one more time. Before I throw it away, are you done? Like I have said this to Logan. I sometimes still catch myself questioning him. My child is fucking 18. As if he don't know. So I just want you to understand the turning of on the conscious eating is a new skill we are all learning. You shouldn't have that skill. Like basically, like you could just like maybe 3 out of 10,000 of you are like, no, Corinne, I always eat consciously and always have. Awesome. Then you like take the banner, the NoBS banner and lead the way. But for the rest of us, it's a new skill and we're learning it and we can learn it and we can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So I just want to make sure that this month we go in not feeling like losers and not feeling like assholes because we don't know these things. That's some bullshit thinking. You know how I always talk about like we got our things we got to work on, our problems. Like, you know, I turn off my brain when I eat, blah, blah, blah. That is so easy to address. Your obstacles and your typical bullshit, that's the easy part to address. What hoses all of you is this idea of like, I'm so broken. If only my mama hadn't. Oh my God, I suck. I must be crazy because I do this. I must be the only one. That part, that's the bullshit. That's the harder part. That's the part, like we got to end that stuff. That's why I'm always trying to tell you guys, normalize yourself. Stop feeling like some kind of broken, wilted flower. You're not. Welcome to the party. None of us learned how to eat consciously. So I really want you going into next month feeling like, all right, whatever's going on in my eating life, it's just learned behavior. There's not one, I don't care if you binge your face off breakfast, noon, and night. It does not matter. It is learned behavior. And the quicker you get to believing you have learned behavior versus I'm a broken ass bitch who probably will never be able to fix herself. And if only all these things in my past had never happened, when we set all that aside and move over to learn behavior, behavior is easier to change. Behavior is so much easier to change when you're not at war with yourself. If nothing else, when you're not at war with yourself, you've got more mental energy to focus on what actually can change. Let's see if there's anything else we need to talk about. I think that's it. I think that's everything. So let's see. So print out your resource guide. And there's three daily options. You will either do a daily assessment in your planner as usual. So if you don't have any urges and you stay on plan for the day, you'll be doing your 24-hour daily plan assessment like always. If you have urges, and you are able to stay on your plan or you don't eat, now you're going to do a successful urge worksheet, which is in the back of the resource guide on the membership site. And this is very important. That successful urge worksheet, please don't blow that off like, oh, that's the extra. No, it is very important. What do I keep telling you guys in order for you to actually be able to change, in order for you to actually be able to lose weight, we have to get better at rewarding ourselves mentally, thinking like a success. Gotta quit the loser shit. There's not going to be like, oh, thank God I got it. I made it through the day. I got through that urge. We don't want to do that. That teaches your brain that urges are exhausting. Nobody needs any more teaching on that. You know what we need? A successful urge worksheet. So we're like, oh my gosh, this is working. Here are the things that worked. Here are the things that I did well. It starts breaking down that urges are scary. Guess what it teaches you? Urges are doable. Because if you don't decide they're doable, you got a long life ahead of you. Because you got a lifetime of urges in front of you. Nobody stops having urges. That is not the way the human brain is even designed. And you thinking they should go away is some bullshit. Thin people have urges. The only thing but difference between us and thin people is they don't fuck out or freak out over it. They don't sit there and be like, oh my God, I'm having a food urge. This is terrible. They're just like, I want a hamburger, but I had one yesterday. I'll just have a salad. I mean, they're just boring. And that's what I want for all of you guys. I want you to have a way more boring experience with food. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't like throw down on some nachos and love them and we can't enjoy the things that we enjoy. But I want, like most of you, you're having a dramatic relationship with food, a dramatic relationship with yourself. It is just like a novella. And we don't want that. We want a user's manual. We wanted to just read like, this is Corinne's boring ass life with food. Sometimes she has nachos and enjoys them. Most of the time, she's just doing life and eating when she gets hungry. like the end. Chapter one and we're done, you know? And then if you have urges and you do eat off plan, you will do your discovery worksheet. So you're going to have a lot of data. All right, let's see what questions we have. I have a couple in here. And then if you guys have questions, you can pop those in the Q&A. My discovery worksheets show me that I binge when I'm alone. My husband is gone for 2 weeks and the first night I binged. Last night I fought my way through, but feel like I'm white knuckling. I don't like being alone because my thought is you'd never survive without your husband. I've always had to depend on someone else to survive. I want to feel confident on my own. Do I just keep repeating my thought? I'm strong and confident. You can, Jamie. One of the things that you can do is, first of all, the binging isn't happening because you're alone. the binging is happening because of the thoughts you have when you are alone. So let's just make that clear distinction, because I think a lot of times you guys will say things like, when I'm by myself, I binge. I don't think that's a helpful thought, and it's not even a useful fact. The more useful way to describe it for you so that your brain has clarity around what's happening is that when I'm alone, I have thoughts that set me up to binge. That is way more useful because it provides like really what's happening. So one of the things is I'd never survive without my husband. This would be really good work for you to do in your journal. Like you're just trying to tell a thought. Like I've got this thought that I really believe, so I'm just going to tell it the opposite. Sometimes a thought switch works, but most of the time a thought switch around something that's very fearful and scary and stuff is not going to work on its own because you have no evidence to prove it true. You've got to create now evidence. So journaling on, and this, it won't be easy, but I want you to just really journal on the idea of, you know, what would I do if something happened to my husband? I did this work. I had a lot of fear around Chris dying for a long time. I got 6 years ago, I got coached really hard on it for a solid week. When I went through coach training, like every day I raised my hand wanting to get coached on my fear of Chris dying. I had this, I just didn't think I could do life without him. I didn't think I could raise Logan. I didn't think I could be alone. I didn't think that, I'd be able to take care of Logan. I just in my mind, it was a nightmare scenario. And that made me worry incessantly about his health and nag him. And I had all kinds of things where you binged. For me, I was tearing our relationship up. It was like, I can't live with him. And I got to where I almost couldn't live with him because I was so afraid of losing him. But I was pushing him away by just on his ass all the time. And I felt very justified in it because my fear was driving all of it. So one of the things that I had to do was I had to go through and I had to start doing some real honest reflection of what would life be like without him? How would I survive? What are the things that I would do? I had to prove to myself that I may not like the life that I would have, but I would be able to keep going. Like my brain was telling me I couldn't. But when I really thought about it, I'm like, well, I could survive. I may just not like it without him. And that was very freeing for me. And then I was able to kind of start thinking about okay, so what are the likelihoods of something even happening? And I'm spending so much of this energy and fear around something that maybe not ever is even going to happen. So it's just a lot of journaling on that and being real. And this is the thing. I want you to invite yourself to just look at your thoughts and not judge them. When I did this work, I just told myself, I get it. I can see why you would feel this way. You love him. It was normal to have those thoughts and feelings. It's normal to do that, but it's not helpful. And so I wanted to normalize something else and give my brain, but it takes right now what you're experiencing and what I was experiencing is this is just where my brain wants to go, but I want to take it over here. But that's more than just coming up with one sentence. You've got to come up with proof and evidence, and proof and evidence is created in our brains. A lot of you will say, no, I need to actually see it. And you don't. You're all the time. A lot of times, a lot of you will believe a lot of your worries. This is what's fascinating to me. We will believe something bad is going to happen. If I say, your weight loss, you'll try to argue with me that it can't happen because of all these things in your past, as if that's evidence for the future. Nothing's happened yet, but you will believe you can't. You will believe in a future where you can't do things and argue with me how that's so true rather than just arguing how you could do some things. It's both just a choice. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. until you bring it along with you. The only reason why our brains like to go to things like that is because there's certainty there. It's like, well, let me just find something that would make sense. Our brains work better going backward than they do going forward, but that doesn't mean we can't go forward. It's just easier to go backward. So like when you really want to get your dreams and you really want to feel better about yourself and you really want to believe the things you want to believe, you have to teach your brain how to go forward with how it's going to think. You have to teach your brain about what else could be true. Can I just? What else could be possible? What might happen if I did this instead? Like you have to ask your brain to go forward. But most of us, we just don't do that. Before No BS, I used to have a snack most afternoons when I wasn't hungry. I've given that up, but now I find that I'm playing a game on my phone or mindlessly scrolling or some other form of doing something that isn't helping me finish my work or that is enjoyable or even restful. Is it common to shift to another bad habit when I give up a snack I'm not hungry for? What can I do to stop it? That is very common to replace one habit with another. It's like, well, I'm going to give up doing this, but ultimately what I want to do is not do my work. So I'll just do something else. the fun question is, what can I do to stop it? Get back to work. Every time you catch yourself grabbing your phone, it's like when you gave up your snack, you made a decision to give up your snack. And then you decided to start playing games. Now you're going to have to decide to not play games or snack. But the next decision is, and I'm going to finish my work, and here's why. So you tell yourself reasons why you're going to finish your work. Like, it will feel good to get done. It won't be as bad as I think. Can I just do this one thing? So you start like getting into the action. And the other thing is asking yourself, like, what is it about this work that bothers you so that you need to distract yourself? Let your brain answer it honestly. It's going to think it's the actual work. It's going to think that like it's that, and this will be the thing. Everything you write down will then I want you to write it honestly first. Then I want you to circle back and look at it, and I want you to read it. And it's like, and this is all my thinking. It's no wonder that I don't want to do the work because this is my thinking about it. So then you go through and you challenge your thoughts. Is this really true? What else could I be thinking? Is this thought useful? What else is true about my work that I'm not giving myself any credit for? That when you make the work itself a little bit less painful, and then you make the decision consciously that we're going to be doing the work anyway, we might as well just get it done. Sometimes it just takes telling yourself, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to be excited and we're not going to be motivated right now. That's not for now. Right now is not entertainment time. Right now is not the time we're supposed to feel thrilled and all the things. This is just when we're supposed to be like, ugh, time to get to work. I do like 50% of my day is that. A lot of you think you're entitled to feeling amazing and good and looking forward to and all this other stuff. I mean, this morning I had to drag myself out to work out. I'm on my period. The last thing I wanted to do was work out. All I wanted to do is lay on my chair with the cat, drink the coffee, watch the news until it was time to roll up in here. I didn't even want to get ready. There was like nothing about my morning today that I actually wanted to do. But I didn't allow myself to just sit there and think about how terrible all of it was. I just told myself, all right, it's just one of those days we don't want to. That's all right. We're just going to do this next. And I just kept telling myself what I was going to do next. Now, eventually it happens. You get into action. Your day is just rolling. That's it. But today's part, like, I know me. Today is not one of those days where I'm just going to be like, hot damn, another meeting. Woohoo, let's record a podcast. It's a no. It's just a day where I'm just going to go into each thing thinking, this is what I do. And I think that's important for all of you, is that I think a lot of us are adrenaline junkies. We are motivation junkies. We're happy junkies. Like, we think we're always supposed to be just riding high. There's only one person or one kind of person in the world that rides high all the time. Drug addicts. Drug addicts have got an unlimited supply of the drugs. We're supposed to, a lot of life, it's just going to be in the middle. And then we reward ourselves in our mind when we're getting it right. And when we feel bad, we let ourselves feel bad. But most of life is just going through life and not making it worse on ourselves and not expecting it to be way better than it is. Like, the best part of life is when you can just take a look around and decide to like it and decide to love it and consciously appreciate things and have gratitude for what you have. I get so much more out of the successful urge worksheet. Can you make a few suggestions on how to get more from the discovery worksheets? We're going to do that last week, but with the discovery worksheet, it's just pushing yourself on anything. If you notice yourself putting the same answers down, then what I would do is push yourself to say, like, all right, I don't want to repeat that answer. So what else could it be? Sometimes on the discovery worksheet, be willing to be a little wrong. Like, be willing for to say, well, let me just take a wild stab. You know, I've been writing this one thing, like, I just want it for weeks now. What else could it be? What else could I just want? And just doing that will help you get a little bit more traction too. When I listened to the binging podcast, I started light binging. That may just be bringing some stuff up, but work through the process, work through the stuff. It's like, I wouldn't call that like weird, out of the norm or anything. Sometimes what happens is that if the only way that you've been keeping binging down is by like severe restriction or deprivation, and then you start listening to how we're going to have like a loving relationship and a better relationship with food and stuff, sometimes like, it's like you will go in the other direction a little bit, but I don't want you to be afraid of that. What we want to do is we want to change those relationships with food and stuff. Every now and then, that means that in order to figure out the middle with food, if you've been severely restricting, sometimes you come like you overcorrect a little, but don't shame yourself. Learn from that to where you're coming back to the middle with your eating. So I wouldn't be shocked by that or anything. How do I stop tasting and eating little bites while I'm cooking and baking? By the time I'm done, I've eaten a whole meal. One of the things that we have done in the past, Kathy, is you put what's called a BLT plate out when you are cooking and baking. So a BLT plate is where any bites, licks, and tastes must go before they go into your mouth. It's a conscious habit trick. So you will have a BLT plate. And when you cook, you will be moving this plate around with you. And it might take you a few times to get used to it, but you're going to move it around the kitchen with you. And everything that you want to pop into your mouth, you put it on the plate first. If you forget and you pop something in your mouth, you don't go like, oh, fuck it, this didn't work. You just take an equal amount and you put it on the plate. Then at the end, you take a look at it and be like, this is the food that I've been popping in my mouth. Do I still want it? Your bites, licks, and tastes don't look near as sexy when they're on the BLT plate. They just don't look as good. It's like all my bites, licks, and tastes kind of look a little janky when they're all on the plate. So a lot of people, that ends up working in and of itself. It just brings the awareness of like, oh, this doesn't even look like a tasty meal. It looks like a hodgepodge of leftovers from a baby's plate. The other thing that it does is that if you still do want it, you take a look and you're like, that is a lot of mindless popping into my mouth. Would I rather have this plate or would I rather make a plate? So you end up just giving yourself some options. Consciousness is like the unsung hero of ending overeating. The moment we get more conscious around our food is the moment that we start making better decisions because we're seeing everything. When we're unconscious, we're only hearing the bullshit of which we think, which is usually just a big ass book of lies. So when we get conscious, the truth is also revealed, and the lies and the truth are sitting there together. And it gives you equal playing field to be like, okay, now I get to hear all the voices in the room and then I get to decide. I took a trip and have another one coming. I made a trip protocol for myself and followed it, planning for a dessert each day. In my daily regular life, I eat sugar and flour free. I did not binge, et cetera, during the trip. Even though I ate as planned, I feel guilty. How do I change my thinking about that? Then you find the thought causing guilt. So all you basically gave me a lot of your thoughts. I mean, you gave me a lot of what happened. And then you gave me a feeling. You've identified as guilty, but you haven't identified the thought causing guilty. So this is really important. How do I change my thoughts about that? No one ever changes their thinking about something until they know the broken thinking of which to change. A lot of you, what happens is you end up, you can identify a feeling that you don't like, and then you want to change the feeling without really understanding why the feeling is there to begin with. So in your case, Leanne, I would go back and I would journal on what thoughts do I have about having dessert each day on my trip that cause me to feel guilty? You answer that question. So what is the thinking around that? And whatever that thinking is, that's what's causing guilt. And then you can go and challenge those thoughts. Like, well, is there a need to feel guilty? Like, do I need to think this? Is this thought even true? Like, it's all not helpful, obviously. It's that I know it isn't good for me. So you have the thought, that's not good for my body. You need to challenge that. A lot of you be like, oh no, that's true. Like, I get rancid diarrhea. But if the thought, it's not good for my body, generates guilt, it's not a helpful thought. It could just, like, your thought could just be like, I'm okay with eating sugar planned on vacation. You don't have to like go into what all is happening to your body. You can question, is it that bad for my body to have dessert? Like, here's my stance on sugar and flour. Unless you've got like everybody, you can put earmuffs on if you've got celiac disease, type 1 diabetes, whatever. If you've got a condition where sugar and flour is bad for you, this is not the talk for you. For the rest of us who are just walking around humans, here's the thing about sugar and flour. It's gotten bastardized and a bad rap because we eat it to feel better about ourselves. Sugar and flour is bad for us when we're sitting there eating it because we spent the entire day beating ourselves up. So the solve, like, this is, I want all of you to please fucking hear me when I say this. Most of you could eat sugar and flour for the rest of your life. And as long as you're planning it and eating it without like a bunch of emotion and bullshit like that, it's just like, hey, I like to have mac and cheese with my, you know, grilled chicken. If you're eating it that way, you could probably have it for the rest of your life and there'd be no problems. But what most of you are doing is making a box of macaroni and cheese at 10 o'clock at night. Because all day long, you've thought about, I'm so fat. Nobody loves me. My boss too hard on me. I'm a shitty ass mom. I don't do anything right. I sure wish my parents had raised me different. I'm so scared I can't lose weight. You've spent a day in emotional hell, not managing your mind. And then you eat mac and cheese at 10 o'clock at night to feel better. And so this is what I see the rest of, this is what the diet industry says, convinces you. Sugar and flour is bad for you. You know what you should do? You should give that up. And your life will be so much better. You're just going to feel so much better. A lot of you energetically feel terrible around sugar and flour because you emotionally feel so bad and you're overeating it due to your emotions. And you keep trying to take sugar and flour away and you don't fix you. You just fix what you put in your mouth. Stop obsessing over foods. They're not the problem. And for a lot of you that, I could just go off all day along this, But for a lot of you, even the people that have it, it's some of the problem. You're still trying to fix you with what you put in your mouth. And you're not trying to solve what's going on in your brain. There's two parts to your head. There's what you're going to put in your mouth. There's that part of your head. And there's what's going to be going on between your ears. If I was every one of you, because this is how I lost my weight, I started with what was going on between my ears and the nutrition that was going in and out of my head before I worried so much about what was going on in my mouth. Because when I started fixing this, it made it so much easier to make wise decisions about what entered my body. And I was making them from an amazing place. And that is important. So before you keep giving up certain foods, and before you and I know all of you try to do it. I don't give a damn how many times I say there's no good food or bad food. Y'all will hang on to your busted ass, you know, food rule that came out in 2009 or 1984. Like, we got years and years of horse shit we can line up that the diet industry has poured out that at least some of you believe. And you'll be so worried about controlling that. And yet, you're like, I don't really want to do that journaling. That journaling, that's some hard shit. Let me just keep trying to monkey with the food while I talk to myself like a complete butt all day long. While I don't ever celebrate any of my wins. While I keep walking by the mirror going, ugh. While I keep people pleasing, hoping that if I please enough people that I can relax today and not have to worry about what they're thinking. I can sit back and not talk to my kids or my parents or my spouses or whoever. I'll worry about the food, but I won't have conversations with them about my needs, about what I want. Just be honest with some people about how I'm thinking and feeling. I keep thinking nobody supports me. I don't even give them a fucking chance. That's the real work of weight loss over here. So when that shit's in check and you want to cut out sugar, flour, whatever it is that you want to do, ketos, all that stuff, then do that. But at least start where the real problems are. Now, I want to just clarify one last time. I am not against no sugar, no flour. There are a lot of you, it does not work well with your body. You know it doesn't. There's a lot of you that high-fat stuff does not work well with your body. There's a lot of you who, like, I've got several of you in here who do keto. It works fabulously for you because when your physical body feels better, it is easier to work on your mindset and stuff. But what I don't like is when I watch you guys and I watch people all over the internet exhaust themselves looking for calories, macros, meal plans, and restrictions to try to solve a mental construct problem. Let's work harder on our brains than we work on Pinterest trying to find the latest and greatest meal plan. That's when your life will explode. That is when everything will change for you. Okay. Yes. And this is Leanne. She's like, for the mental component, for sure. She's like, P.S., I've got the PCOS. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand that. And this is the thing. So, Leanne, we'll go all the way back to your original question. You're feeling guilty about having dessert on a vacation. So you got like two trips, right? Let's say you took six-week trips this year. What is 6 minus 52? 46. That's 46 other weeks that you're not eating dessert every day. But for 6 weeks out of the year, you're going to have dessert. And you're going to do it in a way that works. And you're going to do it in a way that works for your body. And if you find that as you do it on vacation, if it exasperates your PCOS, you'll probably be smart enough to know, like, I think I'll plan it every other day instead. You could be thinking that way, which doesn't lead to guilt. But what ends up happening is we're like, this is bad for my body. That thought leads to guilt. And it may or may not even be true in the way that you're even doing it. It could be, if I notice symptoms, I'm more than willing to adjust my protocol. And there's another thought. Hope that helps. All right. Can you recommend a coach or podcast that teaches the thought feel for work? I had a talk last night with my daughter about her thoughts. This work is so important. I would sign her up for this program, but she doesn't have a weight problem, thinks this is only for weight loss. One of the things that you could do is, Tracy, is you could just let her listen to some of our, you could let her listen to some of the lessons that we have around thought work. Which is module two. You could have her do thoughts 2.0 and just say, even though we're talking about weight loss, this is like the foundation. You could also just some of the coaching calls, like you could go through and look for some where I've coached people on work. Let her listen to those. She also could go to the Life Coach School. Their podcast is really good on thought work. I don't know if she does a lot of business stuff too, like so work related things, but I bet that one would be really up her alley. Start at the very beginning. That's all about thought work. So try the Life Coach School. I'm trying to think if there's anybody work. I'm sure there are coaches that are work related. If you ask in the Facebook group, there's a lot of the Life Coach School graduates are also No BS women. You could probably ask in there and they could probably recommend some podcasts too. All right. Y'all have a good one. Get ready for Urges 2.0. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.